Well, I'm also delighted that Rich invited me to come down and be part of a 6 or 7 week series on discipleship. That's really near and dear to my heart. For 21 years, I was traveling the state helping to plant churches, which are designed to reach communities that need more gospel, to bring more people who aren't in Christ to Christ. And and that's great to see. And I was involved with all those catalytic things and pioneering and big vision things. But the past 5 years while I was on staff, I began to see, you know, we need to take people deeper. And leaders can never be leaders unless they're first disciples and know how to make disciples. And so I really appreciate how you've been teaching and training the congregation to how can we be a better disciple of Jesus Christ? Because if you make disciples, you'll multiply groups and you'll multiply communities, you'll multiply ministries, and you'll multiply churches. Because every family and really every individual has within them the seed of birthing a church. Would that be radical to embrace that? Every family unit here, walking in the Spirit, and we'll tell you about going up in and out, has the capacity of multiplying. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 8. When they got dispersed, they weren't prepared for it. They didn't have any training manuals. They didn't have any seminars following them. They had no safety net. They just all went out, and they all planted churches because they were families of disciples. And so we want to have a little part in talking a little bit more about discipleship, and sort of simple today, just three things. In fact, in your bulletin, you have a little sheet that explains. And they have a little diagram you can put up there. Someone can put up on the wall. Someone's not there. Can you, Rich? Oh, there it is. Oh, I forget. I'm looking back there to the booth, and you've got the gadget. All right. Rich is so far ahead of me. How do you keep up with him? You know, I don't know. But so we just want to talk about three simple things. And Mike Breen, who has a ministry, 3DM, has sort of coined this picture of going up, in and out. And I call it the relationships triangle. Real simple stuff. I think that sometimes we get too complicated in talking about how do you make disciples. Who make disciples, who make disciples. And we need to have some simple things to peg some truths on. And so I've used this simple diagram with all the stuff in it, just on a napkin in a restaurant, and say, hey, you know, there's sort of three basic things we need to do as a Christian. We need to develop our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and spend time with the Father. And hey, we need to have a deeper relationship with one another here at Grace Church, and how we do that. And you know, it's sort of hard for us, and it doesn't come natural, but, you know, if we're loving the Father and we're loving each other, it seems like we're going to be loving the people around us, and they can belong to us even before they believe, right? I mean, they can belong to our circle of love and care and sharing the gospel. So at the center of this is the gospel. And the gospel is all that God, our Father, Creator, has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, in His incarnation, His life, His death, His resurrection, to save us from sin, from Satan, from death. That's the gospel. So because we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are able to keep growing upward into a deeper fellowship with God and our relationship with believers. There's already a sweetness here, but God can even take us deeper into our relationship. I want to talk about that a little bit. But I want to talk most this morning about the third part, the going out. And before I met Mike Breen in 2011, I had developed a team among our church planting leaders, and we were trying to go into discipleship as well. And I said, I think there's three things we need. We need transformation in Christ, we need to be in community, and we need to be on mission. And then, lo and behold, I found they perfectly overlapped with the up in and up. So as we consider the life of Jesus Christ, I think every one of us, if we're in Jesus and we have come to know Him as our Savior through putting our faith in Him, we say, I want to live my life like Jesus. How can I live my life like Jesus? And my definition of discipleship is a lifelong follower and learner of Jesus who is becoming like him in character, conduct, and conversation. So, yeah, we're following him, but lo and behold, we're becoming like him. You want a good verse for that? We won't read it right now, but 2 Corinthians 3:18, one of the three places in the New Testament where the word for transformation is used, metamorphosis. And it says, we are being metamorphosized. As we're beholding him, we're being changed to become like him. So if a disciple is someone who is following Jesus and lo and behold, becoming progressively like Jesus, how did Jesus live? Well, Jesus lived by developing the relationships that he had. And let's look, first of all, at the relationship of his going up with the Father. We're going to look at Luke 6. So turn with me to Luke 6. It's the only passage I will make you look up today. Luke chapter 6, where we see one of many places where Jesus, in the natural flow of his life, was going up, in, and out. And we see all of that together here in Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, who is called a zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So he had spent the whole night, not his first, of course, spending the whole night with the Father. And then he intensified his relationship with these 12, whom he'd probably already had time with for a year by now, but now he made an official calling of them to be apostles. And then we see in verse 17, Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people. Look at how widespread they came from. From Judea and Jerusalem all the way over to the Mediterranean coast, region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him. He was captivating. And to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured. And all the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. So we see here this pattern, this threefold relationships of going up, having a greater fellowship with the Father, of intensifying relationships in a community of disciples, and of the whole team then having an impact out missionally. I want to read a couple more verses here. I didn't read it in the first service, but I meant to. And I think it's especially important for us right now in the United States of America. Oh, by the way, you knew it was Abraham Lincoln's birthday today, right? So we should think about presidents, and we should think about our country and so forth. But here's two more verses. Drop down to verses 26 and 28. But I say to you who hear, so Jesus is speaking to his disciples, because there was a large group of disciples here. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. He probably would have said, love those who disagree with you, I think. Because over in verse 35, he says something even more difficult. He says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. I need that. I think I need that every day. How many times we're tempted to make our point, to make the statement on Facebook, to send that text, to send that email, to shout out our opinions. And Jesus said, hey, I'm on a mission to bring all of these people to the knowledge of the glory of God. And I want you to love as you're on mission with me. And of course, verse 40, It's so cool that verse 40 is right in this chapter. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher in character, conduct, conversation. I want to be that disciple. I hope after you've had these weeks of listening to Pastor Rich, you're saying, yeah, I know I'm a Christian, and all Christians really are disciples, but I want to be an intentional disciple who is becoming like Jesus Christ, more so in character and in how I live my life, the conduct that others can see in me, and then what they can hear from me. And they receive and they see love and kindness and showing mercy. And these are the sons of God. These are the disciples, sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? Let me share something with you about how do we be a disciple who, like Jesus in living his life, spent a lot of time with the Father. So take out that sheet. I want you to have that sheet in front of you, because I want you to see on that sheet that there are some questions on the bottom of that sheet. So as we go through, we're going to be asking you to think. As we go through these three things, I want you to be thinking now, as we go up, in, and out, what's helping me to do this? Because a lot of you are already doing these things. What's helping me? Wow, maybe I should do more of what's helping me. Maybe what's hindering me from doing that? And what might be the Holy Spirit be saying to me this week through his word, through a friend, through the sermon, through where you're reading? I'd like you to do more of this. I'd like you to take this first step. So we'll keep that in mind as we go through these three things. And as we think of spiritual growth, sometimes if I were to say, throw out some words that tell me what's on your mind when you think of spiritual growth, spiritual formation, transformation in Jesus, there'd be a lot of different responses. And some might even say, well, you know, I think of lists of things that we should do and questions we should ask each other and accountability and so forth. And I hope that's not your primary thought when you think of having more time to be with the Father, because it wasn't for Jesus. I mean, it was not a long, hard night having to spend with the Father. Because the only reason we're here today is because before there was ever time, there was a Father and a Son. It's hard to comprehend all this. But a Father and a Son are the reason that there's any universe today, that there are any people on this planet, and that there's any purposes being fulfilled, because the Father and the Son are multiplying themselves in our lives. And we get to have a part in that. And we get to, so when Jesus was with the Father all night, it was like, oh, it was joy, it was love, it was peace, it was conversation. And it wasn't just wrestling out, well, let's see, who do you vote for should be part of the 12? No, I disagree with you. No, it wasn't just that. Because throughout the whole 3.5 years, the disciples sometimes, hey, where's Jesus? Oh, yeah, he's off again. And he's with the Father. And that love relationship of being with the Father, intimacy with Jesus, is the source of any other good thing that comes out of our lives. If we lack the intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love the songs that you selected, his embrace and his love to us in the midst of what's ever happening, and you are a people who are coming together and going up and worshiping, and that contributes to our falling in love with the Lord. And Rich had a sermon on John 15, on abiding. And you know what abiding is not? It's not Jesus saying, okay, I want you to come and I want you to sit down. I want you to be in my class. I want you to shut up and make sure you don't get this wrong. Right, Chris? Right. Okay. We woke him up, didn't we? No, he was wide awake. And abiding is, hey, come and just be with me and let's hang together and just watch what I can do in your life and through your life as you enjoy me and the Holy Spirit fills you. And so in John 15, 9 there, where Jesus said, as, that's a little word, but huge word, as the Father loved me. He couldn't quite make us understand. As much as the Father loved me, I am now loving you, Ray. So just stay here and enjoy my love, abide in my love, and let me live my life through you. And that's the dynamic of the Christian life. So this is a growing in a love relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know some of you are being greatly helped and some are being hindered, and the Spirit of God is prompting you even right now what might change. Secondly, how do we go in? So with other believers, we're thinking of how does this community form among believers? And this church already has a 16-year history, right? So a lot of good things have happened in community. And the picnics and trips to Haiti and other places and canoeing and camps and special dinners tonight, candlelight. Ooh, are you chaperoning, aren't you, tonight? All right. Or are you chaperoning? You probably are. All right. Yeah. Someone chaperone Rich and Karen tonight, okay? all kinds of great things make up a community. And Sunday is great. And the vitality and the love and the relationships and the, it's much more than an acquaintance. But we know that going in is much more than just a Sunday morning experience, right? I mean, it's in our houses. They were, as Rich went through Acts chapter 2, they were having meals together. They were meeting home to home. And hospitality is such an expression of relationship and closeness. And wow, how special that is. Well, you know, we had a tragic situation in the National Free Church family this past week. It was a week ago yesterday. Someone that I knew very well. I worked with Jeff in planting our church up in Superior, North Bay Church, and he was there for a number of years. Excellent job. So loved as a pastor. And then while he was still, and then he went to Duluth and planted Anchor Bay and Anchor Point, I think, in Duluth. And then he planted a daughter church out of that, just doing great. And he was on our steering committee for planting the church in Eau Claire. So sometimes Jeff would come all the way down on his motorcycle and so forth. And so through the years, and then our national director of church planting retired. And so Jeff was asked to take that position nationally. Doing a great job. So loved. He didn't make it out of his home last Saturday afternoon when his huge log home in the country caught on fire. And his son in his 20s, who they went through the senior in high school, went through the tragedy of him having a ski accident and becoming paraplegic and so forth. He and his wife made it out of the house, and it was an afternoon fire. I don't know any details, but somehow in the midst of that, Jeff did not make it out. Young man, a 52-year-old man, did not make it out of that home. And of course, so his position in the Free Church and all these church plants, such a beloved person. And I've been following some things on Facebook and in newspapers up there and all. And Mr. Gilmore, who is up there and knows Jeff, he wrote this. And I read this because it reminds us that community, deeper relationships, deeper connection, they don't happen just incidentally and accidentally. There has to be intentionality. And sometimes the invitation to deeper relationships gets bypassed. He says, many people love the man that she, Michelle, lost. Multitudes grieve for her and for the loss at Anchor Point Community Church's former pastor, Jeff Sorvik. One of the regrets of my life is that my level of grief, though real, cannot approach the level of those closest to him. A fixture in the community, I assumed there would always be plenty of time to hang out with him. And then there wasn't. Heart-wrenching grief is a sign that one has loved much. And so I charge you, dear reader, to love much. Love with abandon. Love as if this very moment may be your last. Death comes to us all. Time is short. People move into and out of our lives for a variety of reasons. There are a handful of people, Jeff is one, whom I deeply regret not pursuing more intentionally. I know I would be a better person, somehow more whole, if I had engaged these folks in more direct, vulnerable conversation, or perhaps even just stacked firewood with them on an afternoon. In some of these instances, a self-conscious shyness hindered me, and I would think to myself, maybe next time. So once again, I charge you to seize the day. There are gifted people in your life right now who you have put off initiating a friendship with. Write that letter. Invite them over for dinner. Do a project together. And so we're reminded of that often, that there are people that the Spirit's prompting us, get together, spend more time. Grow together in Jesus. Because we rarely grow just alone. We rarely go up or in or out all by ourselves. God always is fitting us together. Spouses or the family unit or best friends or whatever. We're doing this together. And fortunately, when I was sitting up here at the school, Crossroads Christian Academy, a few years ago, in fact, it was the summer of 2001, before 9/11 took place even, and sitting in the steering committee for planting this church. And Rod was there on that steering team, and Rod said, "Hey, Ray, you know, you're building this house." And we built a lot of it ourselves, had three teenage sons at the time and so forth. He said, "Let me know when you get to landscaping. I have a few plants maybe to give you and some hostas." And, you know, I did hostas. Okay, do I want these things? Do you eat them? You know, are they bushes, shrubs? I don't think I'd ever had a hosta in my life. And so lo and behold, the next year when I'm landscaping, oh, yeah, I found my way down the rods. You got to work to get there, but it's really worth getting to Rod's place. And of course, I have some plants up there. He's not here, or he would really be impressed by what I'm just going to say. I even have a simisifuga. Yeah, I bet I'm the only person in Custer who has a simisifuga, let alone knows what they are. And you knew they were black cohosh too, right? And they can be used for estrogen. And all, I don't need to go into all that kind of stuff. But anyway, simisifuga. Well, anyway, so it went way beyond plants. So there's never been a year that I haven't been back to Rod's. And it certainly is for the coffee. And so we've had a lot of great coffee times. But it's really more than the coffee. It's sitting there. And so once or twice a year, we're catching up on things. Some of my kids have been down there. They have met Rod. And unfortunately yet, and I can say this because he's not here, he's never yet come to my place. So someone's got to, you know, put the bug in his ear. You should go see Ray sometime, you know. So what if you have to work 19 hours a day to make this place work? Somewhere you got to find time to go see Ray. But anyway, and then, fortunately the Spirit gave me that opportunity to spend some time with Rod. And now it's, after I catch my fish in Viola, I take him to Rod. And he knows how to fry my trout just right. So you see how we've progressed in our community relationship here. No, but there are some people in your life that you're missing the opportunity to grow in Christ with them. Maybe you're saying small groups, I know we should do it, I should be part of one, but you know, it's just too hard. And taking that trip together on a mission, that's just, you know, we just can't do that, and so on and so forth. So as this Brother Gilmore says, he regrets not having more time with Jeff, and may that be an encouragement to go deeper in the people, in the lives of the people that he is inviting you to, who are fellow disciples of Jesus. But the third thing is, and that is to go out, to be on mission. And I think this may be the most difficult for a lot of us. It was for me. In 1992, after having been a pastor for, I guess, 14 years at that time, in Missouri and western Wisconsin, God called us to move to Custer, Wisconsin. Custer is just outside of Stevens Point. And nothing too much there. There's three taverns and a post office. And there is a car repair shop. And so when we moved there in 92, I grew up in an alcoholic family. I saw so much destruction of alcoholism and all, and I had such a hatred for alcohol and all that kind of stuff. My life was so messed up by it and all that, you know, there was no appeal to me to have three taverns and a post office. But they've become my parish now. God had to transform me. It took years and years and years for him to transform my heart. I'm out helping pastors plant churches to reach their communities for Jesus in Superior and Racine and all over the place and Viroqua. But God had to get a hold of me and say, Ray, what are you doing to make disciples here in Stevens Point? And then, Ray, what are you doing to live missionally in Custer? Highest percentage of Polish Catholic people outside of Poland. It just happens to be that. And it made it a little bit difficult to bridge those relationships. But after 10, 15, now 25 years this year, God's been working on me. Sometimes transformation comes slowly. But I'm loving being on mission with Jesus in Custer. And here's some of the ways. You see this sheet? Flip that sheet over. You got to have this. Five simple ways to bless. We need to learn how to bless the people who aren't yet in Jesus. It's not primarily how to preach to them or how to get them to come to church to hear Rich. It may happen with some. There's a lot of spade work to do, and it becomes very enjoyable if we're transformed in our heart and the love we have for the Father and the love we have for the brothers and sisters begins to flow that way. Maybe it starts with FRAN, little acronym, F-R-A-N. Friends, relatives, associates, neighbors. We're really working on our neighbors, having a great time. I'll tell you a couple stories, but I have so many I could tell you. Sometimes it's relatives. You got a lot of people who don't know Jesus yet. And my cousin John, 25 years battle of multiple sclerosis in Morris, Illinois. And I love John. Shared Jesus with him several times. But he passed away two nights ago, so I will be with all my cousins there in Morris, Illinois tomorrow night. And God's asking you, keep loving your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your kids, your nieces, your nephews, cousins. Be on mission. God put you in their lives. And with our neighbors. So beginning with prayer. Of course, we're praying. We're praying for them. And that's where the work takes place. Pray with your wife or your husband for this group of people. Make a little prayer list of people. And my neighbor Bill, 25-year relationship. The other day, two months ago, he was in the hospital, heart issues. And I missed his phone call when he was in the hospital. So a day later, when I did see that, I went over to his house. And I just put my hands on him and prayed, hey, Bill, can I pray for you? And a couple of times after, they said, oh, right, you don't know how much that meant. So let the Holy Spirit make you bold to not just pray for friends who don't know Jesus, but pray with them. Hey, could I pray for you? You know, if you know them well enough, they're going to start telling you things, and you can say, hey, could I pray with you about that? That's not too big a thing to ask. And I've never had anybody say, no, don't do that. So listen. It's listening to the Holy Spirit, first of all. I will listen to and discover the needs of others and the places where God is at work. That's what Jesus did. He said, Father, show me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want to do. I'll do nothing that you don't show me. I won't say anything that you don't tell me. And he did that so we could have his example and we could follow in the same way. So what's the Holy Spirit saying? And when you get on mission with Jesus, every day it's a matter of, okay, I'm willing. And it's often an inconvenient time. It's often an interruption. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, I thought you wanted to be on mission with me. And but be ready to say, okay, Lord, I will. And I wish I could tell you about Ruth and Lenny. At one point, Ruth and Lenny had 1,200 different animals on their exotic animals little farm. Now they have maybe half that many, and they have dog kennels. And so I took my dogs over there, and wow, every time I go there, and his birthday is October 31st. You need to know your neighbor's birthdays so you can take them something. And you need to know your neighbor's dog's names. That's a good missional thing. It's simple little things that you show love to the people around you to connect with them. And so Ruth and Lenny, another one of the families. So eating. Anybody here doesn't like to eat? We should tell some really good food stories because it's getting close to noon right now. And I could see your long faces and no, we won't do that. I will share meals and spend time with people. So next door neighbors, Al and Carol, we started having my wife make two or three different kinds of pies. And their birthdays are the middle of June. And then we had them come up, and then we had other neighbors come up, and we had their son and daughter come up. And yep, they're part of the neighborhood, Catholic church and all. But we're building relationships. And then after a couple of years of doing these pie times, I get to marry their granddaughter, a born-again follower of Jesus. Yay! Melissa and TC. And then Al died at 95. He worked 7 or 8 months of the year up until 3 months before he died. He was 95, and he worked in the golf course, all the work in the golf course. So he was quite a guy, fun to be with. And at his visitation, Carol said, "Ray, would you speak tomorrow at the church, the local Catholic church?" And so I got to speak to 200 or 300 people in the Catholic church. And because I'd had this relationship, and we had pies, and he brought me rhubarb. And so, I mean, once you let God transform your heart to start just loving on people, good things happen. I wish I could tell you about Bud and Linda. He's 79. He's my small engine repairman. And he can do it all, and the kinds of things we've done for him and with him. Serving. I will respond to the needs of others and help them in practical and impactful ways. We live in a great township of 3,100 people, Stockton, and a beautiful new township hall and fire department and 35 acres. And for 10 years, no one would serve on the park committee. And so a year and a half ago, I said, "Hey, I'll be on that park committee." So we pulled it together, and we built this disc golf course, and it was well used this past summer. I'm a neotenist. You know what neotenist is? Okay, you need to learn a new word today. A neotenist is someone who they're growing up, but they act like a teenager or a kid. You know? You know anybody like that? You know anybody like that? Yeah. Right. So they carry traits of younger people into their old age. So I like to play, and I like disc golf, and so forth. And then we added a big fans, thousands of dollars worth of playground equipment, and we have an ice skating rink there this year. And of course, I've been out there playing broom ball. That's fun. And so serving, how can you serve? What needs are there around as part of the community, part of Viroqua, part of Westby, whatever? And the Holy Spirit will help us. And it all is hopefully leads to some opportunities to share Jesus. Just tell them how you became a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what he's doing in your life. Isn't that fun? Wouldn't you like to be able to share that? Well, oftentimes you have to earn the right to share that. But it's fun earning the right because you're just loving on people, doing things together. And so Jerry, who is now passed, he had the 35 acres next to me. And we had a party at our place, and he drove his four-wheeler up there with his assortment of drinks on the back and so forth. And then he called me up a couple weeks later and said, "I want to have a party at my place." Well, it was at that time where he had the party at his place about 3 years before he died that I had an hour to share Jesus with him. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So once the Holy Spirit transforms you through love, loving the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you're part of a healthy body, and you're in a small group, and you're growing together in love, and this is how the church should flow. Discipleship should flow. Jesus said, "Make disciples of those who are out there and teach them and bring them, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Holy Son, and teach them, and they will obey me." And that's how the church works. And it's fun. It's intentional. It's what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives. And I have a little 2-minute video that we're going to close with, and I'll turn it over to Rich.